Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is May 6, 2015. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 17,841, the NASDAQ at 4919, and the S&P at 2080. Last week, we discussed financial health. This week, we're going to take a look at some of the takeaways from prior shows, give you some highlights of those prior shows, and talk about some of the things that we're looking forward to covering on future shows. We'd love to get your ideas as well. Tonight, we are not taking calls, but you are welcome to share ideas, concepts, thoughts for future shows, and you can do that through yourfinancialchoices.com and just give us your idea. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And tonight, also, email would be available for questions, and we'll answer those as soon as we can, subsequent to the show, and that is available, again, at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight, we are talking about highlights of prior shows, and I could have picked any number of topics. One of the reasons I thought it was important to go back and talk about some of the prior shows we had is that, first of all, we should always revisit our financial choices, financial considerations that we have in our lives, but also to just kind of highlight some of the things that we talk about and bring awareness that podcasts are available on both the WDIY.org website and the YourFinancialChoices.com website. And I have frequently had folks tell me that they have gone back and listened to some of the older shows. So we thought we would highlight a few of those tonight and then again talk about some of the ideas that we have going forward. So as regular listeners know, we do cover lots of different financial topics here on Your Financial Choices, but some that I always like to go back to are those shows that establish the building blocks to a strong financial future. Education is empowering, but action is power. In all of this, we also need a little motivation and support. So we're going to go over some of those topics that we have covered to give you a little bit of that education to spur you to action. And with a little motivation and support, you can make better financial choices, we hope, in your future. Some of the topics that we're going to cover tonight from prior shows, I went back to even some of the shows we had in 2013. One is called Due Diligence, and that was our May 15th, 2013 show where we talked about you doing your due diligence in finding financial advisors and the different kinds of terms that are used in the financial world. On February 22nd, 2013, we talked about putting it all together, where we're going to talk about setting up goals, organizing your records, and summarizing your financial information so that you can analyze and review it, and what are the parts of that. I thought we would look at September 24th, 2014, where we talk about the chart of ages. And the chart of ages is where I kind of spelled out some important ages, that milestones that we have through our financial life and what it means when we cross those ages. And I also looked at, on December 10th, 2014, the top 10 estate planning ideas. We had attorney Anthony Rahuba on that show, and I thought we could highlight that because Estate planning is one of my favorite things to talk about. And also on February 4th, 2015, the PA Power of Attorney statute was discussed with Attorney Judy Harris from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus. And I think we need to continue reminding listeners that if you don't have a power of attorney, it's one of the most important documents that you should have, and that there was a new statute in Pennsylvania to kind of update the application of the power of attorney and how that applies to the person, the agent, et cetera, and the person taking on that duty. Okay. We also are going to talk about some of the upcoming shows we have. Let me mention those here at the start. We're going to have next week, and I'm really excited about this. We're going to talk about Medicare options with Dan Banks from Silver Crest Insurance, using an advisor to navigate your Medicare options. So I think that that is going to be a very interesting show. I was quite surprised to learn new information. I love learning new things. And it had, you know, in all my years of doing this, it had never sunk in that you could actually have someone help you navigate your supplemental care options or your Medicare options. It just never dawned on me. I kind of thought everyone's on their own. You go, you apply for Medicare, you get your Medicare, and you know, you take what comes with it. So I haven't crossed that bridge yet, obviously. So it's going to be interesting to hear and how Dan can help us navigate those waters. I think that's going to be interesting. I also met someone, a retired executive who started kind of a second life. He has a very entrepreneurial spirit and started a second career where he's bringing together that experience of, you know, executive, you know, decision making and judgment, etc., to a new business where he's bringing technology together with those years of experience and helping businesses or nonprofits in some of their business transactions that they have, such as purchasing, accounts payable, following contracts, and things like that. So there's going to be two pieces to that story. I just think it's always good to hear how people can recreate themselves. This happens to be someone who's retired, but there are times in our careers and our lives where we have to recreate ourselves. You know, when we're in our 30s, we lose a job, or, you know, our industry isn't what it used to be, and we have to learn to negotiate and switch to maybe a new career. So I think it's great to hear when we have someone who's already had a full career, has retired, but still has so much to offer and wants to give back, you know, to the community, to nonprofits, to business, to small business leaders, to help them fulfill their dreams. So I'm very interested in hearing his story as well. So those are shows that we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. I welcome ideas. This is Community Public Radio. It is for you, our listeners. Whenever there is something that comes up in your financial life, if you don't know the answer, shoot us an email. Let us know, hey, you know what? I've had this happen and I would love to know, you know, what kind of options are out there, or know more about this particular financial subject. One thing I had come upon today in talking to some research partners that we have through our firm is that we are seeing more and more international transactions with clients, more and more people that either have family living abroad or are moving abroad, expats, people who, you know, their employer takes them to foreign countries to work. All of a sudden, they might find that they love it there and they're buying property. So there are a lot more implications to international financial transactions that people have to be aware of when filing their income tax returns, etc. So that could always be a topic, but we would like to hear from you. So if you have ideas, you can send those through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com, and also visit to see prior podcasts through either wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the highlights from prior shows. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets, on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about some of the highlights from prior shows that we have had, just to bring awareness of the varied topics that we have on the show regarding your financial life. And I thought I would pull several topics, though there are many, and you can visit WDIY.org or YourFinancialChoices.com to see the different podcasts from our prior shows that are on those websites and, you know, choose what might apply to you or your situation, or share that with family or friends who may be interested in that as well. So as an example, I went back and looked at some of the shows that we had done in 2013, 2014. And on May 15th, 2013, we did a show, we called it Due Diligence, where we talked about the differences between a broker, an investment advisor representative, financial advisor, and CFP, a certified financial planner, to give the audience an understanding if you decide to work with financial professionals, how important it is that you make sure you know who you're working with and if it is going to make a difference for you and how it applies, and understand the different functions and experience that those different positions and designations bring to your financial guidance, etc. So when we, in the old days, you know, you'd say your broker, your broker, your broker. A broker is a registered representative. It's a securities professional associated with FINRA, a FINRA member firm. FINRA stands for the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. It's the largest independent regulator of all security firms doing business in the United States. FINRA's mission is to protect America's investors by making sure the securities industry operates fairly and honestly. As part of that registration process, securities professionals must pass examinations administered by FINRA to demonstrate competence in the areas in which they will work, covering a broad range of subjects on the markets, as well as the securities industry and its regulatory structure, ensuring a minimum level of understanding and expertise. So let me kind of put that a little extra spin on that. So a registered representative is someone who has to basically have this understanding about the industry and take an exam. And the exam, it's a Series 7 typically, it is about a 6-hour exam, and you need to make sure that you understand the rules and regulations and pass with a certain level of competence. And it might be like 70% or something like that. I'm going way back. So this is an exam, for example, that I had taken back in 2000. And then what happens is you don't have to continue to take exams again and again and again. As the industry changes and morphs, there is continuing education that you are required to do. So you go back every couple years for some continuing education. And some of what that will include will be things about suitability for clients and making sure you understand who your client is and avoiding fraud in different situations. So that's that level of a broker. An RIA, and then I'm going to tell you the difference of these in just a minute. So an RIA, a registered investment advisor, what is that? Sometimes a registered investment advisor or RIA can be a one-person shop, and sometimes the RIA has independent advisor representatives who are advisors working with the company that's the registered investment advisor. RIAs are registered with the SEC or their state regulator, depending on how much money they have under management. So they could be registered with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I'm trying to remember what the dollar amounts are. It went up. It used to be, I think it might be $100 million now. If you're over that amount, you're SEC. If you're under that amount, then you're regulated under the state. And don't quote me on those numbers, but that's what I recall it being. So if you have over that amount, then you're subject to the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. And the mission of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is to protect investors, obviously, maintain fair, orderly, and efficient markets, and facilitate capital formation. An RIA is a firm that's held to the highest fiduciary standard in the financial planning industry, and they have to follow a code of ethics. So a fiduciary responsibility means acting in the best interest of the clients and putting their interest ahead of their own. So you don't recall me mentioning that when we were talking about the broker. A broker does not currently have to abide by that fiduciary standard. That may change over time. They do have to follow suitability rules. The brokers have to make sure they're investing and working with clients on their behalf and making trades on their accounts per the client's instructions. Brokers charge a commission or fee when executing an order that a customer's requested. They don't act with discretion, meaning they have to talk with you before making a change with your investments. And the registered investment advisor or investment advisor representative under the SEC may or may not work under discretion. It depends. And so when you're signing any kind of an agreement with an investment advisor, you want to make sure you understand what the responsibilities are of that advisor. Are they going to make trades for you? Are they going to do it with discretion or without discretion? So in other words, are they going to be calling you before they make a trade or not? So you want to make sure you understand what the relationship is that you have. I mentioned that brokers will take like a commission. Registered investment advisory firms typically are charging a percent of the assets they manage, and they may or may not work with discretion. So again, it still might be fee-based whether they work with discretion or not. So if it's on a fee base, the value of the client's account rises, so does the advisor's compensation. If it falls, so does the advisor's compensation. And they're not typically then compensated if they're making trades in your account, whereas a broker would be compensated if they're selling or buying in your account. All right. What else might we have with registered investment advisors? They may also provide additional planning services. We sometimes see that in conjunction with that asset management fee that they're charging. They may consult on complex issues such as a sale of a business, tax issues, complicated college or retirement planning, estate planning. Sometimes they have specialized services. So you want to make sure that you understand which type of advisor you're working with, someone who is on the broker-dealer side or someone who is on the RIA side. If the money safe with an RIA, RIAs typically use large custodians to hold funds, and those firms assist in executing trades, preparing monthly statements, things like that. You always want to make sure that you're working with someone reputable that does have statements, that is a custodian, outside of people like Bernie Madoff. That's the kind of, he custodied his own assets. So you want to make sure who is holding your assets. We are going to come up on our next break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about some of the topics that we have covered in the past, building up to where it can make a difference in your financial life. And we will continue that conversation in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP, and AEP. I forgot to mention that. AEP stands for Accredited Estate Planner. Many people are not as familiar with that designation, which is why I spell that out. I do want to mention then when we're talking about some of the highlights from prior shows, and in particular the one regarding doing your due diligence and making sure you're working with what type of advisor you're working with. The licensing that we talk about and that type of registration does not necessarily speak to the education or experience of those advisors. So you also want to make sure you understand what their background is and what their education is. And if they're affiliated with an RIA, Registered Investment Advisory Firm, you can check out their that educational background on something called the ADV, and that is in essence a brochure that is kind of required by the SEC. They call it the brochure rule, and RIA firms have to produce this brochure where they explain what are their business practices? What are their fees? What kind of custodians do they use? What kind of business interests do they have? And what kind of services do they provide? And then they also will provide the biographies of the advisors that are with the firm. And in those biographies, you typically will see their education, experience, designations, licensing, etc. So those education and financial designations should be listed on that ADV. You can also use online tools such as advisorinfo.sec.gov, advisorinfo.sec.gov. All our RIAs are required to file that form ADV that discloses all that information, and they are trying to make those forms available online more and more, whereas in the past, the entire thing had been available online. So just look and decide what services you need, and do you need money management? Do you need financial planning? Or do you want to work with wealth managers? Decide how their compensation works. Are financial designations important to you? How are they going to get paid? And how will you work with them? Will it be phone calls, meetings, quarterly meetings, annual meetings? Understand the process and know where your assets will be held. So you want to make sure which custodian will be holding those assets. And just because a firm uses a custodian doesn't mean that custodian's doing the money management. It still will be that advisor that you're working with typically. So you want to know, though, who's custodying the assets. But your financial person that you're working with is typically the person who's going to be doing the money management. Also ask if they offer an introductory meeting, and would that give you the opportunity to ask questions that are sensitive to you, and what kind of questions do they ask you as well? You know, you want to pay attention to that. So you want to make sure that you have an opportunity to kind of get to know each other and make sure that you're comfortable with working with whomever that might be. Okay, one other show that we had done back in 2013, coincidentally, had been like the next week, which was May 22nd, 2013, and it was called Putting It All Together. So you go through this due diligence, you decide if you're going to work with someone, maybe you don't work with anyone, But regardless of that, you still need to kind of put your financial life together. So how do we do that? One of the things that I have seen, I think, works quite well for people, obviously, is setting goals. Some people are better at setting goals than others. But if you set goals for yourself, that is sometimes the catalyst to get you to take action and take the right steps to get you on the right track for reaching those goals. So it's a big deal to get the goals written down and then having that that inspiration then to move forward. So step one in putting it all together would be to set your goals. Name what those goals are. What is the date? Let's put a timeline on it or some type of, thresholds. What do I want to say? I can't think of the word. Dates where you say, okay, at year one, I'm going to have this. Year two, I'm going to have this. So it doesn't always have to be like everything on a particular date. They have milestones. That's what I wanted. And then what kind of dollars are going to be needed to meet those goals? And how are you going to keep up the inspiration? What is it that's going to keep you driving toward meeting those goals? What are your dreams going to be filled? That kind of thing. All right. Step two, organize your financial records, because it's nice to have, you know, what that goal is going to be, your inspiration, your target date, and the dollars needed. But you also need to know what are going to be your resources to help you meet those goals. So you want to organize your financial records. It's hard to know what you have unless you have some kind of system. And I have said it many, many times, you want to make sure that you have a system that you're going to be able to work with. You know, there are many people who love budgets and they have, you know, the software programs where they enter everything and they have summaries. You know, that works for some people, but it really doesn't work for a lot of people. You know, if you don't know debits and credits, and some of those software programs don't always make it that easy. If you have to do a double entry system, or you don't know how to set up the categories and you end up having things, you know, double entried, or you don't know how to roll it up into a particular category of expense, etc., it sometimes could be too confusing. So you definitely want to make sure that when you're organizing your financial records that you set up a system that's going to work for you. And then once you come up with a system, whether it is one of those software programs or it's an Excel spreadsheet or it's just a journal, I've seen many, many people just come in with journals, old-fashioned maybe, but whatever works. And it's a way for you to organize your records and then be able to, you know, put your finger on whatever the information is that you need right there without having to get overwhelmed, without having to go through drawers of materials or statements or piles of paper. You find a way that you can access the information quickly, because you then want to make sure you have a summary of your financial information. That summary, I sometimes call that an inventory. That summary will be an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, where do you have your accounts, what kind of income are you getting on your accounts, what kind of expenses do you have relating to your liabilities, what interest rates, that type of thing. Because once you have your goals, you organize your records, and you summarize that financial information, that's when you can start analyzing and reviewing it to see if you can tweak some things here and there to make a difference in reaching your goal maybe a little bit sooner or a little bit more efficiently in a smarter way. So the more information you have available to you as far as your own personal financial information, it's going to be empowering. And as I said at the beginning of the show, it's not just being empowered, it's about having the power to take action. So we will continue talking about putting it all together when we come back from our break. And we will talk a little bit more in the show about the chart of ages that are important as we go through our life, those milestones, and also top 10 estate planning ideas and issues, and a little bit at the end about power of attorney. If you have ideas for the show, please send those in at yourfinancialchoices.com. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about some of the highlights of shows that we have done in the past, shows that are available at wdiy.org on podcasts that are out on the website. I have had folks who tell me they download them and listen to them as they travel. Sometimes you don't know that a topic will apply to you, and all of a sudden something happens in your life and you say, you know, I need to do some estate planning. It's a great resource to go to wdiy.org, look for one of the shows, podcast on estate planning, take a listen. Hopefully we can help you. There are also podcasts available at yourfinancialchoices.com. We're always looking for ideas to supplement our show topic list. So if you have ideas, we're happy to entertain them, and you can send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. Just email us some ideas. We'll see what we can do. I have been doing Your Financial Choices on WDIY now, I think almost 6 years, and was doing it for, you know, close to a couple years before that on another station. So we've been doing this almost 8 years. So coming up with show ideas every week, of course, is fun, and I love teaching and educating people, but I also want to make sure that the education and the learning is applicable to our listeners and that they are also getting something out of it. So we are always looking for new ideas, and I'll talk at the end of the show about some things that we have coming up as well. Right now, we had talked about some of the due diligence folks should do if they're going to be working with a financial advisor, and we then have moved into putting it all together, making sure that you have a system that works for you to organize your financial information, because here's, for me, the most fun about working on financials with people. The most fun is doing the orchestrating of all of these different pieces of your financial life. And the simplest kind of basic way to put it together, and obviously there's always a, you know, some offshoots of this, but if you think about your financial life in six categories, and that is cash flow. You know, everything's about cash flow. It's coming in or it's going out. And even when it's coming in and it's not going out, well, we're saving it. And then we need to think about investments. So we have cash flow and we have investments. And when we have cash flow coming in and we have investments, in turn, we might have income taxes on our investments and our cash flow. So we have income taxes as part of our financial life. And with saving, working, we're also saving for retirement. So we have a retirement element of our financial life. Typically, we hope that people are saving for retirement. Social Security is not meant to necessarily support us all in our old age. There is some element of a responsibility for all of us, even as young as our first job, to start saving for retirement. So we have to think about retirement when we're looking at our financial life and our financial decisions. And there's always risks involved with that, risks involved with investments, with cash flow, with retirement, with our jobs. So we want to make sure that we are also taking care of our risk management, which is insurance. Insurance could be disability insurance, life insurance, homeowners insurance, auto insurance, long-term care insurance, because we in some way have to manage the risk that we can't always foresee. So there is something called insurance, and that's what that is for. When we all share in the cost of insurance, we can lower the cost for those unusual circumstances. You know, our house goes into a sinkhole, or we have a disability, lose our occupation because of something unfortunate that happens. And then, of course, in the end, when everything is done and we've done everything that we've lived our lives fully, we have estate planning. But estate planning should not always wait until we've lived our lives fully, because some of us may live our lives fully through age 20, and some of us may live our lives fully through age 90. So when there are times when we have assets or, you know, life insurance and things like that, we do, or retirement accounts, and you know, someone very young can have a retirement account or a pension account, depending on, you know, where they're working or how long they've worked there. You want to make sure that you've done proper estate planning. So often I have seen where you might have single children who become young adults, who get good working jobs, and they don't have a significant other, partner, spouse, and they'll name their parents as beneficiaries of retirement accounts. And then they forget about ever changing them, despite going through life changes. Maybe they now have a new partner, or maybe their parents have, you know, become elderly and they don't need the money. And maybe you have a sibling who could really use the money. Or maybe you have a child, you know, or a stepchild or someone that would be different than your parents that you would want. We forget to go and update our beneficiary designations. So when we're talking about this segment that I mentioned from May 22nd, 2013, putting it all together, we talk about making sure that we have set up our financial life and our financial records such that as we go through these changes in our life, we're able to be flexible and have access to the financial information we need if we need to make changes to, you know, those kinds of things, beneficiary designations, or increase our insurance, or lower our insurance, or get rid of some insurance that we don't need anymore. So many people I see still continue to pay for things like life insurance that they may not need the coverage for anymore. So many people will have life insurance to cover unforeseen events during their child raising years, in case, you know, the mortgage has to be paid off or the college has to be paid. But, you know, the kids have long, you know, graduated from college, the mortgage has been paid off forever. Maybe you don't need that life insurance anymore. That is something that you need to kind of go back and review. That was one of the steps we mentioned in putting it all together. It was called analyze and review. So it's neat to see how all of these pieces work together in our financial life. And the more understanding you have around them, the more powerful you can be when you're making your financial decisions. So I had said, as we go through our financial life, and I had mentioned that this could start at a very young age and it could go to a very, you know, elderly age. So what are we talking about now? Chart of Ages. That was a show we did September 24th, 2014, and it was called The Chart of Ages. And basically what I had done is kind of came up with a chart of important ages for things around our financial life. For example, when can we make an catch-up contribution to a retirement account? Well, if I'm 45 and the 40, let's say the IRA contribution amount is, oh, I don't even know what it is. Let's say $5,500. I think it might even be up to $6,000 this year. If it's $5,000, then the catch-up contribution's $1,000, okay, at age 50. Well, at age 45, I can't do that extra $1,000. So it's important to know sometimes the catch-up contribution. When we have a 401k, if the regular 401k contribution is $18,000 and the catch-up contribution is $5,000, we can do that at age 50. So we need to know, when does that apply? We might not have even thought about that or realized it when we're at 49. And here you could be going along, working, making a phenomenal salary, making tons of money. You're in a high tax bracket, and you didn't realize you crossed that threshold in the chart of ages of 50. And if you had known it, you might have put more money in your 401k. So it's important to know the different ages that would apply. For folks who sometimes are forced into retirement early or decide to retire early, if you have what we call an early termination of employment and you're 55 by December 31st of the year, and your only resource for income might be a 401k, you might think, how am I going to take money out of my 401k when the IRS tells me there's a 10% penalty for early distribution out of a 401k unless I'm age 59 and a half? You say, Lori, I'm not age 59 and a half. I'm age 56. I need that money out of the 401k. What am I going to do? We look at the chart of ages and we see that at age, if we're 55 by December 31st, the 10% penalty is waived. If we have separated from employment, terminated employment, and are 55 by year end, that's one of those exceptions to the 10% penalty. There are other exceptions, but this is one of those age-based nuances that folks need to be aware of. So between age 56 and 59, if you terminated employment and you were 55 at the year end, you would have an opportunity to tap maybe a 401k, still subject to income tax, but not that 10% penalty. Moving on from there, age 59 and a half, that's when we can tap things such as our IRAs and 401ks. So let me mention, when I talked about that age 55, that exception to that 10% penalty does not apply to IRAs. Another reason why, when you're organizing your financial life, you want to make sure you understand what kind of accounts you have. Are they individual accounts, joint accounts, 401k accounts, 403b accounts, IRAs? Because there's different rules that apply to the different types of accounts. So that early withdrawal exception to the penalty is for 401ks, 403bs, not for IRAs. But at age 59 and a half, if you have money in an IRA, you can take money out of the IRA, not subject to the 10% penalty. And we are talking exactly age 59 and a half, folks. It's not age 59 and a half in that year. It's not age, you know, if I'm 59 and a half in September, and I take money out at age 59 in March, I will have a 10% penalty because I was not age 59 and a half. So you've got to watch that. So that's one of those magic ages, 59 and a half. Make sure that you understand that. Age 60 is an important age for someone who is a widow, because that might be the time that you could, you don't have to, but you could elect to collect on your deceased spouse's Social Security if the circumstances dictate that you need that. Age 62 is considered early retirement under Social Security currently. So if, again, you do not have to take that Social Security, that's just the early retirement age. You got to understand that if you are continuing to work and you collect Social Security under the early retirement, if you work and make over a certain threshold, you may have to pay back some of your Social Security benefits. So another reason why it's important to understand these ages. And that show, the chart of ages, was September 24th. I think it's quite fascinating. I believe it was my husband who actually said that I should do a show on the chart of ages, and he came up with that, and I thought it was great. So we kind of broke it all down, and So age 62, watch for that. Age 65 to 67, that is a range for folks for full retirement age for Social Security. It depends on what year you were born. And age 70 is another threshold if some people will suspend withdrawing Social Security until age 70 so that they can earn a premium on their benefits. And then, of course, age 70 and a half is the minimum required distribution age where you have to start taking money out of your retirement accounts. There's a couple little exceptions to that, but basically, most people, it's 70 and a half. We have one quarter left of our show. We're going to talk about a couple more topics that we've had on prior shows. Hopefully, our listeners are getting an idea of some of the information that we cover. And those old podcasts are available at wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, your NPR station in the Lehigh Valley. Our current temperature 66 degrees under cloudy skies. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 49. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, a low around 56. For Friday, mostly sunny, warmer yet with a high of 81 degrees. Friday night, a low around 59. For Saturday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 80. Saturday night, a low of 64, and for Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, with a high near 82 degrees. And now back to Your Financial Choices and your host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, John. Folks, we are talking about some highlights from prior shows. We weren't taking phone calls this evening, so I apologize if folks had questions. You can send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Any ideas for upcoming shows, those can also be sent through yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you'd like to access prior shows on podcasts via podcast, you can do that at wdiy.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. We are talking about getting your financial life in order, some of the topics that we have covered on the show. There have been many, many other topics. We've talked about Social Security. We've talked about rental properties. We've talked about buying a car. We have talked about insurance. We have talked about elder planning. Lots and lots of information, folks. One other series that was a favorite for me to do was life stages. I really enjoyed doing that, where we talked about, I had broken this up in the testing stage, where we talked about folks, you know, young kids just starting off kind of testing things, not really necessarily knowing where their career is going, what's going on. That could happen to people even when they're older, where you're kind of testing things. And there's a lot of unknowns around the testing stage. And then we talked about the nesting stage, where you're starting a family, buying a house, and then possibly investing, where you're kind of getting through those years and you're starting to save some money. And then you're hoping for that resting stage, which is retirement, and then the divesting stage. I believed I called that last one divesting, when we're at the end of our life and it's time to get rid of everything. So clean up your houses, by the way. I was kind of looking around my house the other day and I saw lots of files and papers, and I thought, you know what, at some point I need to start kind of cleaning up some of this. People don't want to have to go through this information. So that's always a spring project for people. Talking about some of those old shows, lots of information there. If you have ideas, again, you can send those through the website. To summarize a little bit of the chart of ages, one other thing I had wanted to add, one of the ages was 65, and that is important for Medicare. So if you are someone who has decided to delay collecting Social Security, it doesn't necessarily mean you can delay Medicare. So you're going to want to, if you are already signed up for Medicare, and we're going to talk about this next week with Dan Banks, if you're already signed up for Social Security, I think Medicare kind of naturally, you know, makes its way into your life. But if you have not signed up for Social Security, you actually need to notify them a few months ahead of time to make sure that you get signed up. Or you may have insurance through an employer or through your spouse where you don't have to sign up for Medicare, but you definitely need to make sure what is going to apply to you or not, because you don't want that to come back and haunt you and bite you. So at 65 is when typically we have Medicare. If you don't have to purchase it, I believe you have to show that you have other methods. Otherwise, you'll have to pay back, you know, premiums that you never paid if you didn't do it. Okay. Now, let's look at a more recent show, which we had done at the end of December 10th, 2014. We had talked about some top 10 estate planning ideas with attorney Anthony Rehuba from Fitzpatrick, Lentz & Buba. And we, again, this is just to kind of give you an idea of some of the topics that we talked about. We said, what assets do you own? How will they pass upon your death? Not all assets pass under your will. I think that's really important and should be stressed, because so many people do not understand how assets pass to heirs. They quite often, people will think because they have a will, everything's going through the will. That is not necessarily so. It depends on your asset titling and beneficiary designation. So you need to make sure that when you're doing your estate plan and you're meeting with an attorney, you're giving them all the information that you have, which, you know, if you listen to the earlier show I was talking about, you'd have that all organized and summarized so you can walk in with a nice sheet of paper listing all of your assets, that inventory we talked about. But you also want to tell them about your liabilities, because in the end, you may have no assets. And it would be important for an attorney to know if your heirs are going to end up with a bankrupt estate. So you want to make sure you're disclosing all of your assets, all of your liabilities to your attorney when you're talking about your estate planning documents. You also will want to know if you need to create a trust for children or grandchildren. That came up like 3 times today with clients. So that is very, very important and very relevant to a lot of people. So very important. Do you need to create trust for children or grandchildren? Are you trying to protect assets for your children from maybe spouses that you're not sure if the marriage will be successful or not? Sometimes we can't predict that. Everything's all, you know, wonderful and rosy today, but maybe in 10 years when you're not in as good of shape, you know, all of a sudden you find out your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law weren't what you thought they were, and maybe you don't have the capacity to change your document. So maybe you want to make sure you think that through when you do have capacity and can write the document in the event of any of these unforeseen circumstances. We also talked about naming guardians for minor children, creating living trust or not. They used to be quite the fashion many years ago, not always necessary. These days, you can do a lot through a will. And to try not to get bowled over by companies that might come into town for a weekend doing shows on, you know, setting up these trusts where they charge you thousands of dollars for this big book. We had Dennis Pappas from Vassiliadis Law Offices on to talk about, I think that was earlier this year, to talk about legal documents in a box. Don't get pulled in by that as well. Making sure that you understand what taxes are imposed at death. So many people still think the federal estate tax might apply to them, and they don't understand that it's on estates that are more than $5,430,000 in 2015. That's a pretty big estate. And you need to know if it's going to apply to you or not. And if it does, you definitely want to get some planning done. If you're a Pennsylvania resident or New Jersey resident, of course, we do have a Pennsylvania and New Jersey inheritance tax. And New Jersey also has an estate tax. So for our New Jersey listeners, even though you may think an inheritance tax doesn't apply to you because you're a zero tax rate kind of beneficiary, a New Jersey estate tax may still apply. So you definitely want to make sure you understand what the assets are, who they're going to, and if the New Jersey estate tax might be applicable and how to plan for that as well. How do you choose executors, trustees? What about gifting assets, naming beneficiaries in wills or trust? What about if there's special needs? You want to make sure that you have the proper language in your documents. What if you have retirement monies going through a trust? You definitely have to make sure that you have the proper language so that you don't accelerate taxation on certain assets if you haven't put the proper language in your trust documents. So make sure you do that. And again, you can listen to some of these podcasts through the website at wdiy.org for more information. This was our opportunity tonight to talk about some of the highlights of prior shows, not all the prior shows, just a few here and there, to give you an idea of some of the financial information that we share on the show with our listeners to help you in your financial decisions. I want to also mention one of the things we talked about with Anthony was not overlooking power of attorney, and subsequently followed up quickly with a show where attorney Judy Harris was featured from Norris McLaughlin and Marcus talking about the new statute in Pennsylvania for the power of attorney that came down, which has some nuances and some little tweaks and changes here to help protect the people who are giving the power of attorney and are serving as the power of attorney. So we talked with Judy on February 4th about all of those factors and implications and how much power you want to give your agent in administering your assets and, you know, what that entails and some of the flexibility that attorneys have as well when they're drafting those documents and making sure that you're protected, but also that your agent is protected. Because a power of attorney has a lot of power, but it's also probably one of the most important documents you have because if you end up being incapacitated, you really need that person to be able to step in and kind of manage your circumstances, manage your home. I recently had a client who had this situation where they were lucky that a friend was able to step in and had signature authority on an account to help write checks because the person was literally incapacitated for 2 weeks. And a power of attorney would have been nice. That probably would have worked better. They happen to have signature authority on an account. You don't often see that. We don't often see where someone would give signature authority on an account without some type of a power of attorney or document kind of controlling what the powers that person has, you know, or can do. So those are some highlights from some prior shows that we have had. And I so enjoy doing your financial choices. I've loved the opportunity to be able to do it on WDIY. I love being part of this organization and this volunteer group and all the people who come here to the show and help put it on, support it, and love taking callers' questions, listeners' questions. We weren't doing that tonight, but that is one of my favorite parts of the show. I love hearing from the listeners and your ideas and making sure that we are bringing topics that are relevant to you and applicable to you and that are helping you in your financial decisions and helping you make good financial choices each week, of course. And next week, we are going to talk about Medicare options with Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance. I'm really excited about talking with him because he sent me an outline, and I love learning, and I feel like there's so much I have to learn on this. And you might think, well, gosh, I'm nowhere near Medicare age. I don't really need to worry about this now. Let me mention two things. One, life goes very, very fast. And the second thing is, if you don't think it applies to you, it could be applying to you shortly if you're helping a parent, a loved one, an aunt, a grandmother navigate these waters. It's important to know. It's important for awareness. So we will be talking about Medicare options and supplemental insurance and how to navigate those choices with Dan Banks next week. And then the week after, we're going to have Don Jean on and talk about entrepreneurial spirit, having a second career after having a successful, you know, retirement even, and moving in to see what folks, executives can do with that experience beyond their retirement, making a difference in people's lives. So I thank everyone for listening. I thank John Pierce for being here with me this evening. And I want to say, as I typically do, next, Tom Druckenmiller, although I didn't see him, I assume Tom Druckenmiller is here tonight within the tradition folk music. And remember, folks, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.